Whenever we engage in sinful activity, it usually comes with a measure of secrecy. Cheating on our taxes, telling a little fib, consuming what's unhealthy. Look, if no one finds out, we think we've gotten away with it. Well, let me warn you, what we're about to hear on Insight for Living isn't something that'll ease our conscience. Chuck Swindoll is teaching from Joshua chapter 7, where we're reminded that God sees it all, and at some point, our secrets are exposed. Chuck titled this convicting message, Defeat on the Heels of Victory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to you. Only you are holy. There is none beside you, perfect in power, perfect in love. It is difficult for us, our Father, being sinners by nature, by birth, and by choice, to even imagine ourselves being able to talk, to call you our Father, and to talk with you in an intimate way such as this, since you are so perfect, separate from sin, dwelling in undiminished purity. But we come today because Christ has opened the way, and he, being touched with the feelings of our infirmities and the failures and weaknesses of our lives, has invited us to call you our Father and to come boldly before your throne, marked by grace. I pray today that you will do radical surgery within our hearts, that you will penetrate beyond the masks of our pretense. You will reprove us for our hypocrisy. As you did with Achan, that you will expose to us any secret sin that not only affects our relationship with you, but hurts this entire body. Begin with me. Begin with my family. Go beyond us to our elders and their families. Beyond them to our deacons and their families. Beyond them to all who serve you, who love you, who are a part of this assembly. Lord God, we bow before you today in humility and authenticity. We have sung the truth. Now may the truth find lodging in our hearts and deep within our conscience, in our minds. I pray, having exposed the truth, that you will, as the psalmist has offered, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our minds. See if there be any way of pain within us, and lead us into the way everlasting. It's a risky thing to come before you and to identify ourselves with an assembly of believers. It's a sense of enormous responsibility. May that grip us today as perhaps never before. I pray you would give me courage and independence to speak for you truth without hedging and without fear of men or women's opinion. May the truth come from the page of the Scriptures, and may the Spirit give it wings and freedom to fly about us and among us so that it touches us and brings us to repentance. Lord our God, we have none other but you. You have the words of eternal life. And that is why we have reserved these gifts for you. This money passes from our purses and wallets into our hands and into these baskets to be used for your greater glory. Superintend the expenditures of these funds. Watch over them. Give us generous hearts and joyful spirits as we give to you today, our holy God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. All God's people said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message, Chuck titled, Defeat on the Heels of Victory.
The victory that Israel experienced was miraculous. Only God could have destroyed the walls. The city was invaded, the Canaanites were killed, and the treasures were taken into the Lord's treasury. I mean, everything was on the upswing, but it's easy to miss a warning that God gave them just before they went into the city of Jericho. Look over at chapter 6, verse 17. Joshua 6:17. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, now watch closely. This is to the warriors who invade the land and the people of Israel who will follow. As for you, you keep yourself only from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. Pretty clear. Pretty clear instructions. Chapter 7, verse 1, but... It's amazing how a small connective particle like that grabs your attention. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. And then he pinpoints the person who was guilty. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. No one else knew it. And in this victory over Jericho, the Lord witnessed what Achan thought was hidden. They've just conquered Jericho. We go back to where we were at the end of the Battle of Jericho, verse 2. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. So the men went up and spied out Ai. Ai is a hill village about 15 miles outside Jericho without a large wall. Jericho's below sea level. Ai is above sea level, so it's uphill. But it's a village. It's small. And you almost get the feeling of pride when the men return, verse 3, and say to Joshua, do not let all the people go up, only about 2,000 or 3,000. Need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people go up there or toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there. Verse 4 ends, but they fled from the men of Ai. They fled from Ai. They conquered Jericho, but they run from the little hill village of Ai. It has nothing to do with Ai. It has nothing to do with its size or the fact that it's on a hill or doesn't have a wall. It has everything to do with Achan and his sin. That's why they were defeated. Joshua is appalled. And he goes before God. In fact, look at verse 5. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men. Isn't that tragic? 36 die in the battle of Ai. 36 who need not have died, die. However many more are injured, we're not told. Maybe hundreds. But they come limping back to the camp at Jericho, licking their wounds. as they come down in the descent, and the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark until the evening. Verse 6, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. It was an old expression of bankruptcy and total need and enormous dependence, throwing dust back upon their heads. You'll see that even to this day in the East. These men who once stood so tall as heroes at Jericho are now disillusioned and confused. What in the world happened? Interesting, the Lord tells them to stop praying. Verse 10, he said to Joshua, rise up. It's as if you were to say to someone who has no need to wait any longer, get up, get up. Joshua, get on your feet. There's a job to be done. It won't take prayer. You just listen to me. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. Isn't it interesting? He does not say Achan has sinned. He tells him the camp has sinned. The sin of one impacted the entire camp so that the entire camp was contaminated. That's the point. Verse 1 says it also, the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully when in fact only one stole the garment. Verse 11, Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. They have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. You think the Lord doesn't see it all? He knew every moment. I remember as a little boy thinking, if I could just hide under the covers, I'll be safe. Remember that? You hear the bump in the night, and you pull the covers up. As if the covers are going to keep you from danger. There's no covers on this earth that will keep you from the eyes of God. The most secret of sins on this earth seen clearly by the eyes of our God. He saw it all. He knew where he had hid the stuff. He knew what the stuff was. So he says to him in verse 13, rise up, consecrate the people, and work your way through the tribes. It's like an hourglass. And you will come to the man, and I will show you the guilty party. Interesting. He doesn't tell him his name. Doesn't tell him his name. He could have done that and gone right to him. But you know what? There's something fearful that falls on the whole body when a search party goes out to find the ones that's guilty. If that were to happen in this assembly, and I hope it never does, we would all feel a twinge of concern. We would all feel the ache and the weight of the wrong. Believe me, having been in a church where a horrible wrong was done, the whole church felt the reproof of it, the sadness of it, and the weight of it. It's as if we were stopped in our tracks. So Joshua, verse 16, doesn't wait around. God was intense, so Joshua was intense. Joshua rose early in the morning, brought Israel nearby tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah near and took the family of the Zerahites. And he brought the family of the Zerahites near, and man by man, and Zabdi was taken. He brought his household near man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah from the tribe of Judah, was taken. It's a terrible moment. We read this, but we're not one of the 36 families grieving over the loss of their warrior loved one. I wonder how they felt. We read this and we're not standing alongside injured loved ones who were brought almost to death by their injury from the battle at Ai. I wonder how they felt. Here stands Achan, guilty of sin. And Joshua faces him and says, my son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord and the God of Israel, and give praise to him. It was an ancient colloquialism for opening oneself up before God. Come before him with openness. Come before him with your praises. In other words, hide nothing. Sidlow Baxter, in his excellent book, Explore the Book, says the electric wire of fellowship between God and Israel had been cut and the current of power ceased to flow. Here's the reason why. You are the man. Before I go any further, I want to tell you that the scene is ugly, but it's no more ugly than radical surgery in a room where you or I probably will never be. If you've ever witnessed radical surgery, you know it can appear awfully brutal, and it is awfully bloody. But the radical surgery is done for the good of the person in whom that tumor must be cut out, or that portion of the body that is contaminated by the malignancy must be removed. It's a brutal, bloody moment, but it's essential for life. And God forbid any surgeon who comes to such a place and doesn't attempt to get it all. And that's exactly what Joshua was doing. Tell me now what you have done, my son. Do not hide it from me. Verse 20, get your pen ready. I want you to mark something. I think this will help you. You're going to watch the end of the whirlwind here. You've heard of the sowing of the wind. Now you're going to watch the reaping of the whirlwind with your pen ready. Achan answered Joshua and said, truly, I have sinned. Those are three of the hardest words for people to say. Some people go to their grave as adults having not said them. I urge you, and I don't mean to be cute about this, I urge you to practice them. Become comfortable with those words. Be free to say them at any time in your life when it's true. If you have to say them to your children, say them to your children. If you have to say that to your parent, say it to your parents. I have sinned. Use I. Have sinned. Use the verb. Achan hides nothing. This is time to come clean. I have sinned. Now mark it well. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I did. Mark first, I saw, verse 21. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight. Mark it now, I coveted. I saw, I coveted. Next, Mark took, and I took them. And behold, they are concealed. Mark it, I conceal them. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. The same basic plan unfolds in any secret sin. How could he do that? Hadn't he heard what God had said? Of course he had heard. Hadn't Joshua sent the word? Of course he had sent the word. Wasn't Joshua 6, 17, 18, and 19 drilled into the heart of every warrior and every citizen of Israel? Everyone, they all knew, they all heard. They all heard. You mean Achan went in and while working among the spoil found the garment and he had heard? He had heard. Then how could Achan take the garment and the gold and the silver, knowing that it was disobedience? It's called temptation. It's called temptation. At the time of temptation, we are blinded and we are made deaf. We are blinded to reality and we are made deaf to the consequences. Neither one plays a part in yielding to temptation. More about that later. It's called rationalization, and I checked Webster's, and the definition I found for rationalization was to provide plausible but untrue reasons for conduct. It's not bad. To provide plausible but untrue reasons for conduct. I call it lying to yourself. A rationalization is a self-lie. I tell myself when I look with lust upon another woman, no one will find out. This will never get back to my wife and family. This is worth the risk. All of this is rationalization. And I forget that I've got a wife who is almost as omniscient as God is. And I've got a family who will not look the other way and say, we understand, Dad, everybody has his weak moments. I've got a family like that. I've trained them like that. And I've got a group of fellow ministers who hold my feet to the fire regularly, being accountable to them. I have daughters and sons whose hearts will be broken for the rest of their life. And I remind myself of that, lest rationalization win the day. At that moment, Achan failed to stay with reality and believed the rationalization. No one ever said it better than Alexander White toward the end of the 19th century. Listen to these words. Everybody who reads the best books will have long had by heart Thomas A. Kempis' famous description of the successive steps of a successful temptation. Listen. There is first the bare thought of the sin. Then, upon that, there is a picture of the sin formed and hung up on the secret screen of the imagination. A strange sweetness from that picture is then let down drop by drop into the heart, and then that secret sweetness soon secures the consent of the whole soul, and the thing is done. He goes on. Had Achan only happened to stand a little to the one side or a little to the other side of where he did stand, in that case, he would not have seen that beautiful piece. And not seeing it, he would not have coveted it and would have gone home that night a good soldier and an honest man. But when once Achan's eyes lighted on that rich garment, he never could get his eyes off it again. As Akempa says, the seductive thing got into Achan's imagination and the devil's work was done. He goes on. Be sure as God is in heaven that he has his eyes upon you and that your sin will find you out. You think that the darkness will cover you. Wait till you see. Go on sowing as you have begun and come and tell us when the harvest is reaped, how it threshes out and how it tastes. And I love this line. Every son has his father's gray hairs and his mother's anxious heart in his hands, and no possible power can alter that. Achan forgot the gray hairs of his father and the anxious heart of his mother when he pulled that Babylonish garment to his chest and ran and hid while the other warriors were taking the spoils to the house of God. And he lied to himself in the whole process. That's what I did. That's what happened. I saw. I coveted. I took. And I hid. Before I go any further, if that is you, it is your move. If that is you, it is your move to come to terms with it, to confess it, to deal with it openly, to repent of it, and to turn to God in all of his holiness and seek his grace of forgiveness. If you do not, you injure this body. You hurt this church. If you sustain in a life like that, you will lead this church to defeat. That's how serious this is.
We're just midway through a sermon from Chuck Swindoll, and we urge you to be listening again Thursday when Chuck concludes our study in Joshua 7. He's titled this message, Defeat on the Heels of Victory. If you missed any portion and would like to listen again, go online to insightworld.org. And please keep listening now, because we're eager to remind you about a wide variety of resources available to you through Insight for Living Ministries. First, if you haven't discovered the Searching the Scriptures study notes, be sure to go online and take a look. Many have called this our best-kept secret, but that's entirely unintentional. This is an interactive way for you to engage with God's Word at a deeper level, with Chuck Swindoll as your personal guide. Here's where you find these resources, insightworld.org/studies. These tools are made possible in part through the faithful giving of monthly companions. And right now, we're making a concerted effort to add more members to the team, and we'd love to have you partner with us in this way. A monthly companion is someone who resonates with our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ. and wants to help others search the Scriptures on their own and through this daily program. Signing up to become a monthly companion doesn't take a lot of time or effort. Once you set it up, you can enjoy the satisfaction of knowing that you're contributing to a worthy cause. Having read so many comments that have arrived in the last several weeks, I can assure you that men and women all around the world are making life-altering decisions because of something valuable they've learned on Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, you can become a monthly companion right now by calling 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Treat yourself to a vacation you'll never forget on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to the Great Frontier with Chuck Swindoll.
Honestly, I had no idea that a cruise to Alaska could be so much fun. And without a doubt, the stunning views took my breath away.
God's artistic genius is on full display in Alaska. In fact, I guarantee this, you'll come home refreshed and filled with awe for His majestic creation.
Yeah, at one point our ship was getting chased by dolphins. They were playing and spinning in the waves. It was amazing.
You'll have plenty of time for adventures on shore, lingering conversations around mealtime, and strolling through the idyllic ports of call. And this will be memorable because it will be in celebration of our 40th anniversary at Insight for Living Ministries.
The dates are June 29 through July 6, 2019. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Join us again Thursday when Chuck Swindoll draws a parallel between surgery and our response to sin. That's right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Defeat on the Heels of Victory, was copyrighted in 2001, 2002, and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.